Hello, welcome to Our PVC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPVCLife or through our website at pvclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Praise the Lord. As we continue in our series, Connecting to Christ, preaching through the book of Matthew, today is Matthew 13, verse 10 to 7. Last week I mentioned to you that I read Matthew chapter 1, 13, verse 1 to 12, and then I went from verse 18 to 23. And I told you I had pulled that middle out and I was going to preach it this week. I just need to remind you that I spent a lot of time researching my scriptures and the services and waiting on the Lord for days, fasting and praying and believing God for the direction of the message for each week. And sometimes I'm just amazed at how God works things out. When I sat down in November and phrased this part, coined this whole series, I get these titles and I put them on, and you know, Tuesday I said to the staff, I have no idea why I put wins and losses on Matthew 13. I just wasn't feeling the same. Whatever I felt in November didn't usher back in my spirit on Tuesday. And I just prayed. I said, Lord, whatever it was you showed me in November, show it to me again. And so today's passage comes out of Matthew chapter 13, verse 10 to 17. If you missed last week's message, I encourage you to go back online, go to Sermons on Demand, and you will be able to look at the date and make sure that you listen to that message on the parables. Verse 10, his disciples came and asked him, why do you use parables when you talk to the people? He replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That is why I use these parables, for they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. And when you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. Verse 16. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see but didn't see it. And they longed to hear what you hear but didn't hear it. Father, it's a paradoxical passage, but Lord, help us today to hear. Oftentimes, God, we say we hear, but we have not heard. Oh God, open the inner ear of people today to hear what they have heard, to see what you are showing, and to understand what you are saying. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Parables, folks, are for perspective. Parables are for perspective. And Jesus' parables were very provocative to his hearers. It forced them to deal with the awareness of what they did not want to think about. And interestingly, these parables are still critically important for us today. It is very important we understand the parables because this is going to set us up for our future in heaven. Parables are heavenly, relatable stories by Jesus with earthly meanings. And Jesus used many modes to help people think about what his word was saying to them. But he always gave the answer in the parable so that you would know how to respond. So basically, parables are relatable stories to think about and respond. You understand? Parables are relatable stories. Why? So we will think about it, and then we will respond to it. Now, parables are valuable, and they should be considered in every situation in your everyday life. There's something in a parable that relates to something in your everyday life. And so Jesus was extremely good at using parables to help us measure our wins and our losses, and then that for us to focus on our eternal future, not just on our current present. See, we live in the now, and if it doesn't work for me right now, then it's not going to work forever. And there's so much of this now, me-ism, which comes from a secular mentality, because Jesus is about eternity, and we are about make me happy now. And so anybody here this morning? But folks, let us remember the greatest wins will be our entrance into heaven. And what will be the greatest loss? The denial of entrance into heaven. We've forgotten there's a heaven and a hell. I could reverse this. The greatest win is entrance to heaven. The greatest loss is entrance to hell. I just made it nice by saying denial of entrance. So I want to take us through some stories today, and I trust that I've found enough. I'm a researcher. I'll research whatever I'm doing, be it scripture or story, I'm going to research. So I did some research, and I want to share some victorious wins and some incredible losses. And one of the things that helps us is stories that revolve around sports. And I think I've picked something that will hit everybody based on your like or your dislike. Somebody's going to show up in here for you. So victorious win. See, some of the best game-winning plays in sport history, okay, are not accomplished by the great names. Any sport game, you see the people, they'll come to the line, the team, the crowd, the fans, the city revolves around them, and everybody's on the edge with their bated breath waiting to see, is it a win today or a loss today? Is it a win or is it a loss? And we know the very famous, familiar names of the greats, the guys like Joe Montana, Michael Jordan, Derek Jeter, Wayne Gretzky, Usain Bolt, LeBron James, Cristiano Ronaldo, Lionel Messi, Tiger Woods, Virat Kohli, Rafael Nadal, Conor McGregor, Serena Williams, Tom Brady, Michael Schumacher, Michael Phelps, Simone Biles, Lewis Hamilton. Did I get everybody? Did everybody feel their person in there? So while these players have certainly had their share of magic moments, and they're considered the great game winners of all the plays, and they're famous for their moments of glory, the world doesn't end on them, and sport doesn't always begin and end with them. The game is won by people at times who come into a right timing, make a right decision, have a right perspective, and just have a right moment. It's good enough to secure a win sometimes if you just have a right moment. Do you know, I didn't have this in my notes, and I shouldn't tell stories today because I have so much to tell, but one popped in my head again. I didn't even look this one up. Do you guys remember the Olympics where there was a swimmer from an African country, and there was no way he could ever win except everyone foul started? And then, did anybody remember that one? I don't remember his name, but everybody foul started. Like, there was no way for him to win. It was just to represent his country. So he just went there to represent his country and carry the flag. Everybody foul started. Everybody got out. And then he had to just swim it to win. And the boy swam. And when he got, the reporter said, "How was it?" He goes, "That's a big pool." Right moment. So let me talk about a few things, a few people today. And I'm going to skip through some of these, and some of you know these stories. Some, as I said, I'm not that sport of fanatic, okay? But some I do remember myself. DeSean Jackson's punt return versus the New York Giants. These are incredible victorious wins we're talking about. Perhaps one of the most amazing dynamic game-ending plays in sports history. DeSean Jackson's electrifying game-winning punt returned to beat the New York Giants in 2010 has an honorable mention. Why? Because they never should have punted the ball to Jackson. It was one of the most lethal punts in returners' history in football. And he got it, and it happened, and there was the problem. It caused him to have the win. Mike Jones tackled Kevin Dyson to save Super Bowl 34. This list features an array of exemplary model buzzer beaters, touchdown tosses, home runs. We thought buzzer beater started with Toronto. It's not. I looked up and found out buzzer beater wasn't ours, but thank God we got one. But they say in this episode of this story, if you just look up open field tackle in the dictionary, you will find this play, the open field tackle that sent St. Louis Rams to victory in Super Bowl. And this is all sports stuff. I'm just going to go through it. Tyus Edney's buzzer beater in the second round of the NCAA. This play came because of a great play that they said, don't ever do it again. What happens that Tyus Edney, what he did, if it had not worked, the whole world would have wondered, why didn't he just pass the ball? It ended well, but it was a risk. It was a play that should never be done. Folks, there are moments in time when God just gives you a victory where it should never have happened. We're going to get there. The bluegrass miracle, LSU versus Kentucky. The prototypical, don't count your chickens before they're hatched. And here's this one they said. An astonished LSU quarterback, Marcus Randall, stated, I didn't know I could throw the ball that far. I was in shock. Boom. Don't you just love these ones? See, we love the big names, but these are the real stories. Sam Jones, 18-foot jumper to win Game 4 of the NBA. This is a classic between Celtics and Lakers. Went full 7 games with the Celtics winning on the Lakers. Game 7 would never have happened if not this buzzer beater by Sam Jones, which saved the game and brought them from going down 3-1. Reggie Miller from Indiana Pacers. I love this one. It says 8 points in 8.9 seconds. Historically, this is meaningless because they didn't win. But the record for this young man remains because he made 8 points in 8.9 seconds. Folks, sometimes you don't get famous, but you still had an amazing win. Would you get ready in your heart to remember you can win even when you don't get famous? Roger Staubach's touchdown pass to Drew. This one made history because, here's why it made history. He gave the touchdown pass, and when they asked him, how did you do this? What play did you run? He said, I just bowed and I did a Hail Mary. Hail Mary, for those who don't know, it's a Catholic prayer. He's like, I just prayed and the ball went right to the right place. That's my game strategy. Oh, Ozzie Smith's home run in Game 5. Anybody remember that one? Ozzie Smith enjoyed 7 different seasons in which he failed to hit a single home run. So when he came up at the bottom of the 9th in Game 5, imagine if you've not hit one home run and you're the last batter and you're now, they're looking at you going, oh God, not that one. And the coaches are probably going, can we switch him out? Is there any switch out room? And he goes up and he hits the game-winning home run. And the coach said, folks, today we just go crazy. Folks, sometimes we just need to go crazy when we have a win. Anybody here that, you got, sometimes we just, you know what, we take God's wins and we're like, oh yeah, thank God. I'll say something for the next win. Sometimes we just need to go crazy. Magic Johnson's baby hook. This is called the play of a century, but it's the play that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar invented and taught to his young understudy, the baby hook, and that took many games. Joe Carter's, anybody, these ones you guys, some of you older ones, when I was all of age 2, you're going to remember this one. Father, forgive me for I'm sinning in the pulpit. Joe Carter's World Series home run. Anybody remember that one? 1993, bottom. He took a 2-0 pitch for a strike right down the middle, and the Toronto Blue Jays came back with 3 in the bottom on the ninth to win the world championship. Folks, sometimes there's just victorious wins. And then, of course, in the best of 7 playoff series, the Eastern Conference champion, the Toronto Raptors, defeated the 2-time NBA champion, earning the first time an NBA team based outside of the U.S. won. That is victorious wins. Now, you know what happens with victorious wins? Do you know for every story I read, there was a loss? Huh? So crushing losses, a crushing loss, it's one where the other team is in victory, but you're at the wrong end of the scoreline. And it doesn't go the same way for you or go down in history the same way. You didn't get to snatch victory out of the jaws of defeat. But sometimes victory and defeat come together. Hello? We're going to get there. 2019 Toronto Raptors versus Golden State. Kawhi Leonard hit a shot from the corner over Joel Embiid at the buzzer that bounced around the rim 4 times, falling in to give the Raptors 92-90. That's the victory. Can I ask you something? What was this poor guy Joel doing as he watched it go around the rim? What was he praying? Hail Mary, Mother of God, please. There's somebody on the other end. Boston Bruins and St. Louis, Game 4, Stanley Cup. Well known for this image, Bobby Orr flying through the air, scoring the Stanley Cup. But it's noted the game marked the end of 3 straight Stanley Cup losses for St. Louis. One loss caused many losses. You know, sometimes one loss in our life can cause a trickle-down effect. AFC wild card playoff, Buffalo Bills 41, Houston 38. Why is this one important? The Houston Oilers went 10-6 in 1992 and drew the defending champion Buffalo Bills in a wild card round. Shortly after halftime, the Oilers led the Bills 35-3 and appeared to be in cruise control. I like this one. I mean, I went through so many and I picked the good ones. I went, oh, so they went into cruise control. They were like today's church after COVID. What followed was one of the greatest comebacks in the history of professional sports that marked the beginning of Warren Moon's career on the Houston Oilers. They went into cruise control. He went into turbo. Folks, it's time for the church to go into turbo because the devil is not in cruise control. And then a couple more I want to think. 1996 Masters, Greg Norman loses after leading 6 strokes. All of you golfing fans, Greg Norman came into the Masters in 1996 playing well, capturing the title which eluded him for numerous close calls through his career. He shot an opening round 63, a course record, and led through the first 3 days. Imagine he's the winner for 3 full days. And in one of the worst final performances in history of the game, Norman lost a 6-stroke lead in the final round and lost the Masters by 5 strokes. How do you go home? You drag home. Just 2 more. Let me see if I could get 2 more. 1989 NBA Finals, Detroit Pistons 108, Lakers 105. In the final game, Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Showtime Lakers, attempted to make one last championship stand facing the Detroit Pistons for the 2nd year in a row, attempting to go at the three-peat, they called it. Three-peat. See, don't make jokes at people when they're down, because you don't know when you can get down. That's the part. That's why I like this one. It's like they wanted to make sure the other team feels so bad. They're not even saying we're going to have a repeat victory. They're like, we're going to have a three-peat victory because it was their 3rd time. Before that season, Kareem had announced he would be retiring. Lakers were ready to send him off with a great championship. But early in the 2nd half, Magic Johnson pulled his hamstring, aggravating an injury. Game 2 came down to the final moments, and the Pistons went up 2-0 and beat L.A. Do you know what? No one person makes a game. Is that the lesson right there? Okay, I think I'm going to skip now. I had some other good ones, but I can't give you them all. I just got too many. But once you start researching it, it's like pages and pages of it. It's like, oh, this is good. There was one here that I just have to tell you. There was the Redskins and the Bears, a game, and the Redskins had beat the Bears many, many times over. The Redskins beat the Bears a lot, blah, blah, blah. And then, pardon me online for the blah, blah, blah. It's just fast. Anyways, they beat them quite a bit, and they came out to beat them again. And when they came out, just to make them feel bad, they called them crybabies and quitters. Okay? Crybabies and quitters. And so in the worst blowout loss in NBA history, they were beaten by the team they call crybabies. Don't you love when God turns the tables? Can you imagine them going, crybaby? Folks, here's the thing. Wins and losses, perspective from life lessons. When the whys in life are answered or unanswered, we still have a responsibility to trust God. When the whys in life are answered, we trust God. When the whys in life are unanswered, we trust God. When it's the wins, we give God glory. When it's the losses, we still give God thanks. Amen? If I hadn't lost the 400 meter in... can't tell you the year, for Olympic tryout, for those who are more mature and those are going to go research it, it would have been the one in Atlanta. I was geared to go. I had put everything in for it, and I lost by one person, a couple of seconds on my 400 meter, just a couple of seconds. Packed my bags, never went back. I'm a preacher now. But sometimes you don't understand your losses in life and why. If I had won, I wouldn't be on God's path. It's the loss that took me where God wanted me to. Sometimes you don't understand why your losses is God's setup for your win. Can I talk to somebody today? Sometimes we have our lives so set and fixed, we can't see. It's like them going, crybaby, oh, you little crybaby, and all that. Sometimes we don't understand why God allowed us to lose in this area because a win is forecasted for us, but we want to fix it all for God. And God says, I am God. I'm the one that knows your destiny. So the disciples questioned Jesus as to why he used difficult parables to speak to them, for they were accustomed to Jesus' storytelling, and many of the parables made sense to them all along. But now Jesus has switched strategy, and he was sharing these paradoxical and rhetorical stories that they just didn't like. Sometimes we don't like the story that Jesus is presenting, but we don't have an option because he is the divine one, and we are humanity. So Jesus, as always, was now appealing to their logic and their emotions and their ethics and their timelessness. Folks, Jesus at times, the Holy Spirit at times, is appealing to our logic. Do you know it's not everything comes in some Holy Ghost wrapped cloth. Sometimes you got to use your logic to see what God is saying and doing in your life. Sometimes the emotions can go one way or another, but we've got to put our emotions in check under the Holy Spirit so that we would understand that God has a picture that we can't see right now. But he's always in control. Can I hear an amen? These two are important. Many times, not sometimes, God is appealing to our ethics. As Christians, we live at a higher level of ethics. Do you know what's destroying the kingdom of God right now? What is destroying it? The low level ethics. Because Christian ethics is about servanthood to the kingdom of God. It's about service unto the King of glory. And watch how God will make all things work together for the good. And timelessness. Oh, we don't tire going serving the Lord. We have to recognize, I've been serving the Lord for 5 years and I'm tired. Come on. I always pick on my faithfuls. What is it now? 44 years over there? Rachel, is it 44 years? Well, 44 at PPC. How many years serving the Lord? Somebody asked Rachel for me, how many years serving the Lord? Pardon me online, I was almost uncouth. 75 years of serving the Lord and still found serving the Lord in the house of the Lord. Come on, folks. So if you want to know about wins and losses, go ask about 75 years. Was it always a win? There's always losses and wins together in life. And that's what makes us strong in the power of the Lord. So the Lord Jesus was attempting another style of conversation to reach an audience who should have been understanding what he was saying before, but they were not getting it. Their hearts had become so hardened, very calloused alongside the people of their own secularized culture. If you remember, all through Matthew, you're seeing the callousness of the heart of humanity, the callousness of the heart of some who said they were Christians, the callousness, and Jesus is trying another strategy to go, come on, I'm appealing to you to get rid of the callousness of your heart and let your heart be soft and pliable like last week's message, the soil that I can plant into. See, the secrets of the kingdom are not shared to the non-believer. The secrets of the kingdom cannot be shared to the non-believer. It is reserved to strengthen the walk, the life, and the journey of those who believe Christ Jesus as Lord. He gives us the secrets of the kingdom. But when the secrets of the kingdom are not in us, it means we're not hearing from God. We're not talking to God. Do you know how many times people go, oh, we prayed and God told us, and you're just sitting there. When God tells someone something, and that person says God told them, you feel it even when they say it. You're not sitting there going, of course God told you. A lot of times we're telling ourselves God told us, but we never heard from God. Jeremiah 21 is that passage where it says, they're telling lies that I said and I never said it. Let us be careful that we seek God for the secrets of the kingdom and know what he's saying, not only for our service unto him, but for our own personal lives. So Jesus was now giving his strongest warnings to the Christians, supposedly Christ followers who professed to believe. But instead of growing in faith, Jesus was trying to break down the word again and again to them, but they still remain obstinate and neglectful. Church, it burdens me, as you've heard me preach week after week, that we've allowed so much obstinate and neglectful behavior to be in the kingdom of God. We cannot continue this way for generations to come up and truly know how to press through and serve the Lord with gladness. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about today? Praise God. What is most prevalent now is a modern day complacency to the gospel, a sluggishness to the Spirit of God, a slothfulness in not reading the word, a purposeless existence which forces a striving of earthly accomplishments, of earthly desires. And folks, common sense dictates that those who profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ would behave in a manner that demonstrates that they're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what's going to bring the fire back in our Christianity. That's what's going to bring the fire back in our nation. It's when the church itself, those of us who say we're believers, begin to demonstrate what we profess and stop living by the dictates of the world and what the world has. So can we simulate it better than them? We can never simulate secular better than secular, but let's simulate sacred, which overrules secular. Praise God. Folks, God does not and cannot reward unbelief. And as professing Christians, we must demonstrate by faith that our life and our lifestyle is one of faithfulness to the kingdom of God, one of diligence, one of consistency, one of perseverance, one of loving kindness, and one where the fruits of the Spirit are demonstrated at all times. So to those who online, in-house, have not yet made a commitment to Christ, can I share that you may be a good person. You may be a very kind person. You're an extremely loving person. But what you lack is the eternal satisfaction of gaining the secrets of the kingdom of God because of relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what you're lacking. And online, at any time, you can go right in our chat line. Someone will lead you in a prayer. Someone will be back in touch with you. You can go in, you can connect with us through our text. And we have a text, and they will put it up at the end of this service. And we encourage you to come on in. You're lacking the joy of God's presence. And maybe you look at some Christians and say they have no joy. That's their problem. Wins and losses, you get your joy because that's what God calls you to. So one of the tragic sights today, folks, is to watch filled churches sitting. And it's lifeless and it's powerless and there's no joy. That's why I love the worship service here. What's happening? It means that we're happy to praise God. We don't have to have a worship team sing for us. We got voices to sing and a reason to sing. Come on. Ah, glory be to God. It's tragic because God will one day give us those who are allowing themselves to fall into the slothfulness, to fall into the disinterest, to be inattentive, to be closed-minded. He says, I'll give them over. Let me read a passage for you quickly. Romans 1, 18 to 31. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they would do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They're gossip, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Folks, he says, I'll give them over to that because I'm using every mode possible to say step away from that lack of faith and lack of belief in who God has called you to be and begin to walk in the power of the Lord. So Matthew 13 verse 10 to 17. Last week Jesus says, let the soil. He talked about the different soils and that message is there for you to listen to. I won't repeat it. But he says, let your soil be that where the seed will grow. But instead what we're seeing and a lot today is we're seeing hardening of hearts. People are hardening their hearts. People are hardening their hearts. People are deafening their ears. People are closing their eyes. People are denying what they see. People are refusing to understand. Their hearts are so closed they can't understand. People are resisting becoming converted to Christ. People are refusing to acknowledge Christ's sacrifice and granting healing. And when all of this happens, this is the losses that Romans tells us will cause people who think they're going to heaven to end up in hell. Folks, the backsliding is one thing. The unsaved is another. Backsliding means you knew God and you walked away. To whom God has given knowledge, that knowledge must be retained. Those that are never given their heart to the Lord, there is redemption for you today. And Christ will give you his great gift of salvation. But Christians, may I ask you today, please do not deliberately ignore the word of God. We've taken it for granted. Oh, I go to church and I heard it, but I don't have to apply it because that preacher said it, but it was her. Can I tell you, when I stand and I've preached the word of God, the word is given to you. You are accountable for it. Whatever you do with it, you're still accountable for it. So can I just encourage you today, the word of God from Genesis to Revelation reveal Christ Jesus. The unveiled look at the Lord, the Messiah, has been given to us in the New Testament when the veil was rent. The power of Christ's cross is demonstrated to us as we just even went through Easter and commemorated that. And also the release of the Holy Spirit which came in the book of Acts. And so here Matthew tells us many people would have loved to have what we have, but they never had the opportunity to know what we have. They didn't have Genesis to Revelation. They didn't know Christ went to the cross. They don't know about the power of the Holy Spirit. They died before all that from Old Testament to New Testament, but they still will be judged for how they serve God. If they will be judged for serving God, how about us that have been given all of this? At what point do we say, God, to whom much is given, much is required? Teach me how to understand the parables that is showing me that there's a judgment coming because life is about wins and losses. The greatest wins, entrance to heaven. The greatest loss, the denial of entrance to heaven. I don't want to hear, oh, you served for so long, but you gave up. I want to serve him till he comes. Amen. As I told you, my sermon was written on Thursday. I write on every Thursday, so that's why, too, you'll never reach me on a Thursday. I focus on the Word. I have, since I've been young in ministry, I have a motto that even my niece and nephews grew up knowing. I don't turn my phone off some Thursdays because I discipline people. If you call me on a Thursday, I'll ask you a question. I'll answer and I'll say, are you Jesus? And they'll go, well, I said, I'm working with Jesus so I can get a word for Sunday. Are you Jesus? I usually hear. So I wrote it on Thursday, and I wanted to talk about wins and losses, and I wanted an example to close with. And I finished my message with the right example, and then Friday it was confirmed. So I didn't write it Friday. I sent it to those who do PowerPoint Thursday. So this was a day before. And I wasn't watching TV. I don't watch that when I'm studying. So just recently, the Raptors lost a game, which was blamed on the young daughter of another player of an opposite team, screaming during the free throw shots. And it made all the social media outlets. And I don't follow sports closely, and I didn't watch it at all, but I was watching the news that night, which was Wednesday night. I was watching the news after I came in from a board meeting, and I was just chilling. And I saw the interview, and what I loved was what the player himself, the significance of what the player himself, Pascal Siakam, said. He commented on the fact that he doesn't pay attention to the distractions in the game. Would you just run this clip for me?
Raptors may still be feeling disappointed after last night's game, but it's not about them. It's about a young Chicago fan.
DeMar DeRozan's 9-year-old daughter. She was heard screaming at the top of her lungs every time a Raptor was at the free throw line, a shriek that may have haunted the entire team. CTV's Sean Lethong has the story.
Fred, shot doesn't go. And that's going to do it.
In a must-win game between the Raptors and Bulls, there was a standout performance from one former Raptors' daughter.
That is the daughter of DeMar DeRozan. And here's the voice you're hearing when Raptors shoot. She's screaming.
DeMar DeRozan's daughter, 9-year-old DR's shrieking scream could be heard attempting to distract Toronto players shooting free throws. In all, the Raptors missed half of their free throws, going 18 for 36. And with the team losing by 4 points, it may have made the difference.
She went viral. She. Now, I haven't let it soak in yet.
Having played 9 years in Toronto, Bulls forward DeMar DeRozan says his daughter wanted to come back one more time.
And I just said, you can miss one day of school and, you know, come to a game. And I'm glad I did. I owe her some money for sure.
The Bulls' social media team posting this to Twitter, awarding DR the MVP of the night with 36 screams.
I don't know if it really had an effect. It went 18 for 36, so it had to have an effect somewhere. She did a great job.
Today at the Raptors' end-of-year media conference, forward Scotty Barnes says he could definitely hear the scream on the court.
She was yelling, trying to figure out who it was. I was just heard somebody screaming. I was like, who is that?
Second free throw doesn't go, loose ball.
Pascal Siakam, who missed 2 key free throws in the final minute, says distractions come with the territory.
I mean, we played enough games where, you know, there's opposite fans or whatever, like people do stuff at the free throw line. So I can't really tell you.
Raptor fans may still be feeling.
Life is filled with distractions. One player says, that's all I could hear. The mature player said, game comes with distractions. I don't listen to it. That, folks, I put that out before Friday. I said I put it in my message because I wanted to make the point that life, the Christian life, comes with distractions. But as you mature in Christ, you don't pay attention to it. So when you get your wins, you praise God. But when you get your losses, you still trust God. Our eternal life is about wins and losses, and life is filled with those. But folks, here's my conclusion today. Don't pay attention to the distractions. Sometimes we get a loss and we blame it on the devil and everything else. And so we miss what God is doing, because somewhere in the journey, sometimes he's teaching you something that you have to know for the rest of your journey. Our society tells us only celebrate the wins. That's why I love that interview. See, there's one not yet mature, and he's like, man, how could you hear her? Like, man, I couldn't concentrate for life. Again, I said, that's why I did a whole sports thing, because I was asking where to go. See, I'm a former athlete, right? 400-meter runner, Olympic development. Didn't make it. Loss. But whenever I got in that block to do the 400, you could scream anything you want. Because I couldn't come back to the coach and said, I didn't get out of the block because I didn't hear the gun, because my mom used to come. And if my mom and all her friends were there, oh, Father, have mercy. The proud peacock, Mrs. Miller, no matter where she was, I could tell exactly where her and her clan were. All you could hear was, God, and they had another nickname for me, and I'd say, Mom, do not scream that in the stands. So she had to use Miller. And you would hear, go Miller! And you get a bunch of old ladies screaming like that. I had to learn, listen for the gun. Listen for the gun. Because I got to shoot out and get going. But when I lost, I couldn't blame it on everybody else. The wind, the sun setting in my eye. It wasn't my game. But I celebrated the fact that I got that far. I can still tell the story today. How many of you made it to Olympic tryouts? Tell me. I could still strut, because my name is written in books or in paper somewhere. I still have a number. But life has its wins and its losses. And so you need to hear what God is saying to you, whether it be in your win or your loss, and you need to understand it. You need to see the picture God is showing you and comprehend it, whether it be in your wins or your losses. And you need to believe. You know what he says? If you turn, then your heart will be healed. A lot of people are walking around with chips. Everybody is chipped and offended when sometimes God is giving you a new picture. Do you know why the church is so weak? Because we take on everything as an offense. I shared with you the story when I toured Robben Island. And Jama, one of the mightiest men I've ever met in my life, a former prisoner with Nelson Mandela, was brought to prison when he was 13 years old, served in that same hideous Robben Island prison, and now is a tour guide there. Why would you be a tour guide here? He says, because I want people to know the real story. But after how they beat you and had dogs bite you guys and chase you in Crocodile River, and don't you feel anything? He says, but for all that has been taken from my life for 25 years, why would I let anything be an offense to me for the rest of my life? See, that's the thing. Thank you. We allow everything to be a problem and nothing to be what God is trying to do. Hear and understand, see and comprehend, believe, and stay focused on what Jesus is saying in his words. It says in Matthew 13, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they long to hear what you hear, but you didn't hear it. So folks, turn and let your heart be healed. Because everything else is the enemy giving you a loss when God was setting you up for a win. Are you hearing me this morning? Hear and understand, see and comprehend, believe and heal the heart. So I want to ask in this moment, and I'm going to start first with those who have had losses or suffering some losses. Those that are suffering some losses, losses that are crippling you, losses that are taking your joy away, losses that have caused you to lose perspective, losses that is making you question yourself and God, losses that are causing you to take offense where God is not intending any offense. Wherever you are in your seat, we're going to pray right in the seat today. Wherever you are in your seat, would you stand? That's it. You go ahead, ma'am. Stand. This is for real now. We're going to pray right where you are. This is for real. And the church is going to pray with you at home. Whatever losses you're suffering, it should not destroy your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It should not destroy your future in the Lord Jesus Christ. It should not destroy your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the game, when they lose, they still have to play another game. Life continues on. So this morning, those that are standing, I want you to speak to your spirit right now. Begin to speak before I pray and say, Spirit, nothing's going to cripple me. It's not going to destroy me. God gave me breath. No man gave it to me. No woman gave it to me. God gave it to me. And I thank God for the gift of breath. So my losses can become my wins when I acknowledge that God is in control. I will not give control of my life to any person by blaming them for everything that's gone wrong in my life. God, you know the rights and the wrongs, but life comes with wins and losses. And right now I'm at the state of a loss, but God, you can turn it around. God, there might be a moment where everything is turned around for my good. Right now where you're standing, would you begin to pray and ask the Lord to help you? Would you begin to ask the Lord to heal you? He says, so they turn that the Lord would heal them. And those that are sitting that are not praying, would you now begin to pray for those that are standing? Would you open your mouth and pray? Those online, would you pray? Pray for the people that are standing. God, turn these losses into great wins. God, we heard of some comeback stories. God, give some a comeback story that gives the devil a black eye. What he intended for evil, my God, turn it for good. What he intended to destroy a hope and a future, turn it around for good. God, set the bar higher today in the name of Jesus. God, that we turn and be healed in the name of Jesus. I pray a divine healing upon everyone right now, that, oh God, their soul would be healed, their mind would be healed, their spirit would be healed, that, oh God, they would open their eyes to see what God is going to do in this. It's in the losses that you find the great things of God, because you begin to concentrate more on how to win the next game of life. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare victory over those, oh God, who have been sinking in the loss. May they rise up and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Would you be seated? And I want now everyone, you've had an incredible win at something. God has given you a win. You need to give God thanks. Would you stand? See, he says, go crazy. He said, go crazy. That's what the man said. Come on. Glory to God. Somebody, open your mouth and give him some praise today. Thank him. Go crazy. Hey, devil, it could have been a loss, but I got a win. It could have been a loss, but I got a win. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, come on. Give God thanks today. That's how the devil gets off your back. Glory to God. When the raptors had that thing circling and we waited with bated breath, when it dropped down, strangers jumped on top of each other. Everybody was happy. Why? A win is a win is a win. Don't ever let the devil take your win out of your spirit. One more time, give God some praise in this place. Woo! Hallelujah! Glory! 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 Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, bless your people. Oh, God, let those in losses, oh, God, find the win again. And those in wins give you more praise and encourage each other because you're the only one that holds it together in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory to God.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.